love that music. Happy Thursday. You're listening to Sweet Life, the weekly show helping people find their path and then to walk it. I'm Brooke Peterson. We are streaming live from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College at www.lancerradio.org. And when I say it's a beautiful campus, man, it's like 75 degrees outside. It's sunny and warm. It's February the 7th, and I'm in like light pants and a little teeny tiny tank top. That's not true. So today we have a couple of announcements. First of all, there is a game, a basketball game, February the 15th, called Coaches versus Cancer. And this is involving the Lancer women's basketball team, and all the proceeds goes to cancer research. And that is the 15th. Tip-off is at 5 and 7. Are there two games? Two games. At the gymnasium here at PCC. So make sure you make plans for that. It's for a good cause, and you get to have a fun time supporting your Lancer basketball teams. And a couple more. We have a financial aid 101. Everybody needs some money for college. It's a known fact. It's an epidemic. We all need it. It is going to be on the 12th, which is, I guess, what, next Tuesday, from 12 to 1 at Harbison Hall. And they will tell you all about everything you need to know about financial aid, and it certainly can't hurt. And they have refreshments. Hello. And February, as we all know, is African American Heritage Month, and PCC is pulling out all the stops. They have got a huge assortment of activities lined up for all of February. In fact, right now, right now, there is Kabasa African drummers outside. That sounds cool. Man. Okay. And then the 11th through the 14th, there is an African marketplace in the quad all day long. Check that out. And there's more to come through the rest of the month. Okay. So I hope everyone is having a really good week. Last week, I shared a couple of goals I made for 2013. And one of them is to figure out and embrace the whole social media situation. And the other is to develop a way for interested folks to listen to Sweet Life in their own time, a la podcasting. In fact, somebody asked me about that just yesterday. This week, I am proud to say that not only am I Twittering under @SweetLifePCC, but now I'm also Twittering @PCCLancerRadio. What? I'm doing both. I'm toggle Twittering, yo. Sadly, I have 3 followers, but maybe that'll change soon. And I still have to figure out the whole like hashtag shorthand, blah, 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 whatever. I have a hard time writing bad grammar on purpose. Like, that just hurts. It hurts, and I can't figure it out. Anyway, look me up on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and tell me if you know of anybody who has a pretty cool career that you'd like to hear more of. And maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Do it. This past weekend, there was a little event that you may have heard about. Something like Super Bowl? Are you familiar? Well, PCC, our little old PCC, now has an alumni wearing a very large and very impressive ring. Congratulations to David Reed, number 16 on the Baltimore Ravens special teams. That's just cool. How many people? We are now like 2 degrees away from a Super Bowl wearing ring person. That's pretty cool. Okay, onward. Fun fact. According to thenumbers.com, in 2012, 1.37 billion, that's with a B, B as in boy, as in Brooke, billion movie tickets were sold. That's movie tickets, not including DVD rentals or downloads or whatever else exists today. Does that mean I can say that movies are popular? Are they big business? I think so. How much do you think you'd enjoy a movie if you were sitting there with your Junior Mints and your popcorn and it sounded like this? That'd suck, right? That would be no fun at all. Well, that's what audio, or lack of audio, would be like. Audio, sound, half of the movie experience, I'd wager, yet it receives relatively little glory. And the Oscars are coming up, and it's all about the actors and the directors and this and that. We take it for granted. We do. We're just such visual creatures, I guess. But if you disagree, yell at me on Twitter. I dare you. Yet the audio mixing is pivotal to a fantastic movie experience. My first guest today is a production audio mixer based here in Los Angeles. Andy Theis?
I've known you for how long?
I've never had to use your last name out loud. Andy Theis has been an audio mixer for 6 years. Just a few of his career highlights so far include working on projects involving Katy Perry. She's famous and stuff.
Yes.
Rose McGowan and Jason Patrick, and he's just dreamy. Just yesterday, he recorded an interview. This is so cool. With Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
That is awesome.
80s icon.
Oh, my God. Well, 80s or 80s?
Well, he won his belt in 79. He was in the 76 Olympics, and we really saw him a lot in the 80s on TV with commercials.
Well, either way, he's an icon.
Yes.
Whenever it was. And Andy went to the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences in Phoenix, Arizona. That's really cool. I've heard of them. I actually looked into them for myself one time. We'll talk more about that. Thank you for joining us in studio, Andy Theis.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. How does it feel being on this end of the microphone?
Yes, this is very different for me. I'm used to swinging a boom above someone's head or loving them up.
Loving them up.
Yes.
Sounds kind of nice. I'm loving you up. all the pictures that I've seen of you and other sound mixers, your arms are always held over your head, I imagine, for long periods of time. It's got to hurt. Do you work out?
You get used to it. You build up your muscles, and you learn the balance and the boom guy lean. You have a little lean, and you can put the boom on your head, and that helps too.
I would do you have like you know those helmets that people wear if they?
I do not wear a helmet.
Maybe you should. It's an idea. It could help.
Yeah.
Okay. You can make it really cool, like the Andy helmet. Audio Andy helmet. Okay. Well, let's get started at the beginning. So I just learned that this was not your first career. What did you do beforehand? What did you... You went to undergrad at University of Wisconsin.
Whitewater. Yes. And after that, I went back to... I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I went back to Green Bay, and I ended up getting hired.
Are you a Packers fan?
Of course. I am a season ticket holder and part owner.
Ooh, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
One share, yeah. A lot of us have one share.
Nice.
So I went back to Green Bay, and I got a job at a large insurance company called American Medical Security.
And you went for public relations in high school?
I actually graduated from Whitewater with a public relations degree.
Okay.
And
that's how you got the insurance gig?
No.
Okay. I'll just shut up now. Go ahead.
I just answered an ad for someone looking for Macintosh repair and support for this insurance company. And I went in for the interview, and I said, here's my experience. And they liked that I had a degree, and they said, I came across well in the interview, I guess, and they said they could train anyone to fix a computer. They hire on personality.
Wow.
And I already had knowledge in the Macintosh field, just repairing my own stuff, mm-hmm. and they hired me, and I was there for 7 years.
Wow. That's pretty interesting, though, that you were even open to that job, considering you weren't in school for that kind of thing. So what made you go for that interview? Just quickly, I know that's not the point of this interview.
I was looking for another job from where I was hired right out of college, which was a home repair place like a Lowe's,
mm-hmm.
and that was not the career path I wanted to take.
Mm-hmm. You're so sort of I was willing,
yes,
with a great personality.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, so. So after you were there for 7 years?
7 years burned out on it, and I decided it's time for a career change,
mm-hmm.
a big career change, mm-hmm. and it's time to leave the colds of Green Bay.
Uh-huh.
And I applied to this school, Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences.
Uh-huh.
It was between that and Full Sail in Florida. You might have heard of Full Sail. Yeah, the name is out there more than the conservatory.
It's like I've seen their logo on, you know, different.
Very possibly.
Yeah. So now, okay, but why audio? Where did that even come from?
I was a music fan for years. I have
fan or like an obsessed like
2000 record albums.
That'll do.
Okay.
Okay. So you were in love with music and sound.
And
so that wasn't
live shows, and I would go to a lot of concerts. And I said, well, if I love this, let's pursue that.
Good for you.
And the conservatory teaches you how to record bands on a big mixing board that you see. You know, anytime you see a picture of a studio, you see those big mixing boards.
Yeah.
And so that's what I learned on.
Wow. Okay. So now, because you went there for music and they taught you how to record music and,
mm-hmm.
Is there any, how did you end up in film?
Well, I knew when I was there, once I started learning it, that I was a non-traditional student. You know, everyone was 10 years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
And
I know the feeling.
at this campus. Yeah. And I realized that recording bands would be a very long process. And I would have to start at the bottom. And there'd be a lot of young up-and-comers. And honestly, I really like film. And the thought of being on a film set is I knew, I figured it out that that's where I wanted to be.
How?
I've always liked movies.
So music and movies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Either way, you would be happy no matter where.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So let's see. I went into a post-production field once I got to Los Angeles, and that was audio post-production for television. Mm-hmm. And from there, I realized what is needed on set for sound. And that was my next step. Okay, yeah. I have this experience with post-production. Here's what they need when someone's recording the sound. Absolutely. And I started taking free jobs off Craigslist.
Sure. Yeah, that's how we do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
And so, just beating people.
Yeah, yeah. And so with the post-production, was that, are we talking like Pro Tools? Or are we talking
Pro Tools. We learned at the conservatory how to use Pro Tools. We were certified on that.
Uh-huh.
And I was at the post-production house, which is now closed. It was called Mix Magic. It was on Highland Avenue. And I would set up the Pro Tools sessions for the sound mixer that would come in and maybe record voiceover for it. We got a lot of e-entertainment programs in, or maybe someone would bring in a short movie and we'd set up all the sound that would come in. Because when you're on set, you record the dialogue, but you also need such things as Foley, which is the sound of people walking, or a car. You'd have to put a car noise in there. And so you would set all that up. Sometimes I would find the sound effects and put those in the session. And the mixer would come in and make it sound perfect, or as close to perfect as he could.
And do you enjoy that kind of production, the post-production?
You know, it was a lot of sitting in a room and doing, we would have to quality control a lot of shows that we worked on. So I would watch a show 5 times because there were so many different, if we made a copy of the show, someone would have to sit and watch that show. Mm-hmm. So the movie, it's funny, the movie that I've seen the most in my lifetime is called The Hollow, because I had to quality control that movie 20 different times.
All right. So it can get kind of, I guess, tedious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would rather
lots of notes.
Notes, yes. Yeah. You have to be very thorough and make sure everything's labeled correctly, all that. So, and that was just, that was more of me sitting at a desk.
Right. In a dark room,
mm-hmm.
chances are. Now, I do find that interesting as far as with editing, because it seems like it's equal parts creativity, you know, with working with this sound or story making, whatever, and organization and kind of this sort of left brain, right brain kind of thing. Is that true for what you do as well?
Oh, yeah, that's a real good way to say it. I am more of a technical guy, but I have to have an artistic side, too, to be in this business. And that's sometimes that's difficult.
Mm-hmm. For you, just because it's not necessarily, you're more of the engineering,
yeah.
technical kind of person. Now, how, in what way does the creativity feed into what you do? How is it?
That's a good question. The best way I can say it is this. I was just talking to a cinematographer recently, and I was saying, you know, if you watch a movie, a lot of times a cinematographer or a director of photography gets credit at the start of the movie. Sound guy doesn't. And that's because the director of photography is a very visual art. It's like photography and for moving film. And so you have to get the light right. You have to get the angle right. You have to make everyone line up correctly. And for me, all I have to do is capture sound. That's really technical. All you got to do is press record and make sure that that sound sounds good. Now, I made that sound really easy.
Yeah,
it's not that easy.
Sure, it's not that easy.
There's a lot of so when you're recording, the microphone goes into a mixer. From there, it goes into a recorder. From there, it goes on to maybe a hard drive or a CD. You got to make sure all that is working and working correctly. And if it's not, you know, it's just purely technical,
mm-hmm.
and there's not a lot of art there, but you know, I have to do stuff like stay out of the light, stay out of the way. Mm-hmm.
It's probably more also, I think, of being able to understand their point of view and what they need and what they're going for. And I think you have to have mm-hmm. a creative mind to sort of put yourself in those shoes. Would you agree with that?
That's a perfect answer. I wish I said it myself.
Well, I think it's true, you know, because what I love so much about movies and production and of any kind, theater too, is the collaboration. And I also think that's why so many people work with the same people, because once you find those people that you either have the shorthand with or you know they get it, they understand you and, you know, how you think or what your vision might be, I mean, those are probably priceless for somebody to have those on a team over and over and over again, and those relationships just become, you know, better and better. But, yeah, I would imagine, I mean, I'm not a sound mixer, but I would imagine that that kind of thing is really important to the team and the overall end product.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Before we take a break, one more quick question. In the beginning, what was the biggest challenge that you found being on set after leaving the editing room?
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't prepared for
this. Is that a big question? Is that a big question in 10 seconds?
Just one thing? Just one challenge?
Start with one. We'll take a break and come back, and we'll talk about the rest of it.
A challenge was getting used to being yelled at for stuff that you didn't do wrong.
That would be a challenge. That would be hard. You know, and creative people have that reputation for being sometimes mm-hmm. a little testy.
Yes.
A little hard.
That was something I really had to get used to. Coming from the Midwest and being everything's
yeah.
fine, nothing wrong here. And now someone will be like, get out of my shot. And I'm like, I didn't even realize I was in your shot.
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
All you had to do was tell
Ask
me.
Ask nicely. Yeah. Jeez.
I'm a person. I'm not just your boom guy.
Exactly.
So tough. Okay, so we're going to be right back with Andy Tice. He is a sound mixer here in Hollywood. Don't go away. This is Brooke Peterson for Sweet Life. Hello out there. This is Brooke Peterson. You are listening to Sweet Life, streaming live from LancerRadio.org. We are on the campus of Pasadena City College. We actually have taken over the old facilities of our much bigger, much more glamorous big sister, KPCC, but we're grateful and we love it. I'm sitting here today with Andy Tice. He is a Hollywood audio mixer. He has worked with the likes of Katy Perry, and Sugar Ray Leonard. I still can't get over that. That's really cool. I imagine, is that one of the perks of being an audio mixer?
Oh, yes. That's like number one. It's just being able to go to these places. I call it rare air. Sometimes you get to be in, all of a sudden yesterday we were in Sugar Ray Leonard's mansion.
Okay.
You know, and there's his belts.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot of pictures. And there's all his accomplishments. And there's Sugar Ray.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is really, really cool.
And he is exactly what you'd expect.
How's that?
He's gregarious, funny, polite, just a great guy. He suggested afterwards, he was like, hey, you want to take a picture with me? He was saying that to the crew.
Aww.
That is very rare.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah.
And he's good looking. How old is he?
If you say so, he's good looking. He's about 55.
Yeah, he always had
he
that,
still
like,
looks
boyish,
good.
That boyish kind of charisma and charm.
Everybody he still looks really good,
Sugar Ray.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool. What other perks might there be as an audio mixer that... Okay, so if you're sitting... I'm not going to answer your questions for you because I'm afraid I'm about to. If you're you know, outside holding this boom over your head and you're you know, you must have a masseuse on call for your back.
No.
Or like a carload supply of sunscreen because you're outside
yes.
all the time. What are the perks other than, I guess, where you might?
Well, one of my favorite perks is being fed.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get fed twice. And it's usually I'm pretty easygoing, so I'll eat the food and I'll be happy. And, you know, it's one thing I noticed on set is that everyone's pretty friendly and they're all happy to be there. And so, it's a place where you feel welcome. And you brought up the team aspect. Mm-hmm. It really is that. Currently, I'm working with a group with Full Moon Features. They make a lot of horror and thrillers. they keep hiring me. They keep hiring the same crew generally, and we all know each other. We can go in there, we can have fun, we can laugh, make jokes, and get the job done. And it's a really fun environment. Making movies is fun.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what's it like working on a horror film?
Well,
I mean, is it just sort of like, does it matter what kind of it? Personally, anybody who knows me knows I'm the biggest wuss. I will not see horror films. I have nightmares for 5 years afterwards. And that's just how I've always been. So what is it like being on the set of one all the time and sort of being around that? Or does it sort of take all that away?
Yeah, it takes all that away. Because all of a sudden, the person who might be the killer is, yeah, he's just a guy. He's a nice guy. The guy dressed up in deadly clown makeup with jaws is just cracking jokes once they call cut.
So now when you go to when you go see movies, horror movies in particular, are you just like, eh? Nothing really gets you anymore?
Yeah. I had an interesting experience. I guess I worked on a movie called The Last Duane. Actually, it was a trailer with Danny Trejo and Rose McGowan and Jason Patrick. And they used that same set for Django Unchained.
Oh, cool.
And all of a sudden, you know, hey, I was on that set, you know, and it's like, wait, and it takes you a little bit out of the movie.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Now, when you look at credits and you see, are you always, you know, scouring the credits for people that you know or you've worked with? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things you like doing is looking through the credits and say, oh, I remember that guy, or I think I worked with him. Yes.
Now, as like by definition, as a Hollywood audio mixer, are you like freelance? Like,
yes.
Off the bat, so it's your own business. You're also
personally
running a business.
Yeah, personally, I'm freelance, and I'm working towards joining the union. I do have my hours. It's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
So these unions out here are no joke.
And yes, that's true. And once you get in the union, you still have to get jobs. You still have to work your personality, and be that responsible sound guy to get those jobs, because they're not going to hire you. They don't want you there.
Yeah. Now, do they have agents for audio guys?
You know, I know they have it for camera guys for sure.
Uh-huh.
And directors. And I got to look into the audio
guy.
I'm
just curious. Yeah. A friend of mine, her husband is an art director. And I know he has an agent. And I was surprised that there were
agents.
Isn't
that surprising?
For, yeah,
yes.
It was to me.
Yes.
But yeah, I guess, I mean, there's all with all those, you know, below the line jobs that I'm sure people are always working, you know, to get positions for. So anyway, so you're working on the union, and what were we talking about? So how competitive, well, before I even move on to that, going back to the fact that you are running your own business, is that a hard adjustment for you? Are you incorporated kind of thing, or?
Once I started my life over in Phoenix and then moved to LA and started over again, and then started over again in this post-production land, and then production, it's just all sort of, I'm used to it now.
Yeah.
You start from the bottom, but it's a little scary.
Yeah. I mean, is it also all about the networking?
Yes,
use the
definitely.
Social media a lot? I know you're on Facebook.
Yep.
That's how we've kept in touch. But
yes.
Do you find that's how you're getting most of your jobs?
It definitely helps. It keeps your name and picture in minds of other sound mixers or other directors, other filmmakers.
Mm-hmm. Are you really good at that kind of thing, like the networking? And
why do you need help?
Yes, I do.
three Twitter followers. After today, it'll be four.
Sweet. Yes.
But,
look out, world.
I'm all right. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Some people just have a knack. And others have to really work at it. I have to really work at it. I just, you know, for me, it's just, I get busy. I'm just taking it day by day. And to remember, you know, to maintain those relationships and to really work on it. It's I guess it's a skill in itself. And if nothing else, it's a muscle, you know, remember, as part of, you know, your routine.
Yes.
Check in with people. It's always good to do no matter what, for whatever reason, any reason. Now, in this world of Hollywood, especially in the past 5 or 6 years with the recession and all that, I know in the beginning production was cut way back early. I think it's better now, sort of rebounding. Have you seen a shift in competition for your jobs, or how is it in general?
Well, right now I'm at a point, I'm 6 years in on this, on my second career, and I'm at a point where I don't have to worry about the other sound mixer because I know so many people now. It seems, especially within this past 6 months to a year, even though the economy is bad, there's still stuff being made and they need someone and they call me.
Nice.
I've really finally found a career that I feel confident in.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can do the job and I can do it well and that people like me and rehire me. It's a really good feeling.
Yeah. How long do you feel like it took you to get to that point? Like 3 years, 4 years, 6 years?
Or... at least 3 years.
Three solid years.
Yeah. Before I started getting the jobs where I thought it was a decent paycheck. And it took me 5 years before I felt really, really confident.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I lived in New York, I was an actor at that point in time. They told us all to give it 7 years.
Really?
Yeah, 7 years to even begin to feel like you were making those, you know, connections and making the rounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. That feels like a really long time.
Yeah, it
when
is.
When you're in the middle of it.
But it's worth it, right?
Yeah, sure. I had a great time. It was wonderful.
There you go.
And here, as a sound mixer, do you find it, when you were getting started and you were new to the area, mm-hmm. how hard was it to get going?
You know, I would take any job that was handed to me and just make that connection. And I would hand out my card to I had a goal of handing out my card to 5 people on set.
Nice.
Every set that I went on.
Good tip, everybody. That's a good tip.
And it's amazing. You know, there's a lot of cards that didn't pay off, but the ones that did,
sure,
it was worth it.
It only takes one, right?
Yep.
That's what they say.
Yep.
Only one phone call. Next thing you know, you're working with Quentin Tarantino on Django.
Yeah.
So what was your first big break as far as your first big – what was your first paying gig? I know you said you got started on Craigslist.
Oh, movie called The Laundress Smiles, and I was being paid $50 a day.
Okay.
And that's pretty low. But
yes,
it was
course.
Fun. And again, we shot every weekend for like 3 months. And we got to be a real good group of people, and it really helped hone my skill.
Yeah.
And that does, you know, and I did a lot of free jobs, but my first paying one was.
Sure. And what so far has been your favorite job?
The Katy Perry music videos were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's another rare air moment. And all of a sudden, you're part of something that is going to be seen by millions of people. Well, the video is going to be seen by millions of people. I worked behind the scenes on the behind-the-scenes featurette. Isn't seen by as many people, but it's still, you're right there, right in the middle of it, and you're seeing how everything is. There's more lights. There's more. We shot this last one in 3D. She shot her video that was Wide Awake was shot in 3D. I think it was out in theaters for a while.
Now, does that change anything for you as far as your job?
No.
No. Okay.
But it was still
cool. Yeah,
it
was very cool.
To see.
Very cool. And mm-hmm. that's in all the rage right now.
And so. The food was really good.
I gotta love that craft service, man. Oh, it's so much fun. You know, I was just talking to somebody about that. We are such simple human creatures. If you feed us, treat us well, we're happy.
Is it over already? I have so much more to say.
I'm sorry. I told
Brooke.
You it flies by. I can't help it. Time. It's my nemesis as well. Okay. So thank you so much, Andy Tice. We could keep on going. Mr. Tice is a production sound mixer.
Andy. Audio Andy.
Audio Andy. based here in Los Angeles. In the next half of the show, we're going to make friends with the written word. Writing in any form is tricky at best, especially these days. But when you have to write something and it could make or break a job or a sale, then it becomes really tricky. No worries, we gotcha. Stay right here, you're listening to Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson, and we'll be right back.